Good morning and welcome. We cannot come before God unless we are first honest with ourselves about who we are, about the mistakes that we've made, and about how well or how poorly we care for others. In this spirit, let us offer our prayers to God. And knowing this and admitting this, we come together to worship and praise God. The peace of Christ be with you. Please rise and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially our visitors. If we have any visitors, again, we do welcome you. And if you would like any particular information on the church, please see any of our ushers. Or if you would like to get the information on your own, we have welcome packets hanging on the shepherd's crook in the narthex, which is immediately out the doors of the sanctuary. A reminder to please sign the registration sheet that is located in your red folder. You'll find those folders at the end of the pew. Please sign that and then pass it to others in the pew and bringing it back to the center aisle. If you have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in the red folders. So complete that card and then put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward this morning to Chris. I would like to highlight just a few announcements. We don't have a lot, but a couple important reminders. All Saints Sundays in 2 weeks, November 1st. And to be included in the All Saints booklet, if you want to make a donation in honor or memory of a loved one or a family member or friend, you do need to have that the donation and the information to the office by next Sunday. So that's All Saints is fast approaching. And if you would like to be included in that booklet, please have your information into the office by next week. The Happy Methodist reminder that they are meeting tomorrow at noon. They're getting started back again for the fall season, and there is a luncheon. If you would like to stay, there is a small additional cost. So Happy Methodists, welcome all. And a reminder from the office, from Jeannie in the office, the newsletter articles are due this Thursday, the 22nd of October. And I would remind you to please take a look at your bulletin carefully, checking the meetings and times scheduled for activities scheduled in the church this week, and also a few other announcements that pertain to the life of our church.
So, okay. The pastor asked me to mention this to everyone. I missed the last one and probably going to miss this one, but this is a beneficial thing that's going on. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., there's going to be another meeting to continue to discuss the information and the statistics that were presented by John and Amy on the past two meetings. John is the statistician for the Methodist Church, and he presented some data to us about our area, the community that we serve, and what makes that community, and things that we might possibly be able to help with or serve as outreach and missions. So if anyone is interested in how that information comes together and how it can possibly guide us to other ministries, or you have ideas that you would like to bring, please attend that meeting at 7 p.m. here on Tuesday.
Thank you, Diane, for that beautiful opening music. I would now ask that you stand for our call to worship. Please follow along in your bulletin after my prompt, reciting your response. From the beginning, God entered into covenant with the human family, with Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Deborah, Ruth, and Jeremiah.
Through baptism, Jesus Christ calls us into covenant and makes us ministers of Christ's righteousness.
All Christian ministry is Christ's work of outreaching love. It demonstrates a common life of gratitude and devotion, witness and service, celebration and discipleship.
All Christians are called to Christ's servanthood in the world, to the glory of God, and for human fulfillment.
The Church, as the community of the New Covenant, participates in the Christ ministry of grace.
It stretches out to human needs, prayer, service, and convey God's love.
In our ministry of servanthood is this ultimate concern. Please remain standing for our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Please join me. We believe, O Lord, that you have not abandoned us to the dim light of our own reason to conduct us to happiness, but that you have revealed in Holy Scriptures whatever is necessary for us to believe and practice. How noble and excellent are the precepts! How sublime and enlightening the truth! How persuasive and strong the motives! How powerful the assistance of your holy religion! Our delight shall be in your statutes, that we will not forget your word. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 577 in your red hymnal.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing? Good. Go ahead. Have a seat. Make yourself comfy. So what did you guys do this weekend? Did you do anything fun this weekend? You had your birthday party. Happy birthday. You know what? I think that deserves a special. Can you lead us in happy birthday for Hannah? Sorry, I waited until you sat down.
Happy birthday to you.
We did this weekend. Did anyone play? You and your cousin Hannah played. You did? Well, that's great. Did anyone help any friends out or help any of their family out this weekend? I know you two did. You helped make cookies. And they were delicious.
And icing,
that's right. And you brought some to me while I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, with a lot of icing. I got a plate of cookies that were iced, which were delicious. And I got a tub of icing and a spoon. And if anyone doesn't know already, Donna Weber makes the best icing. So you helped family out, right? Did anyone else help family out this weekend? No, not at all. Did you clean your room or put your toys away? You cleaned your room? Did you put your toys away? You never put your toys away. Well, at least you're being honest about it. That's something that we'll have to work on. So, today, you sleep in the living room. Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Today, we're going to talk about serving. And serving is something important that we should do. How do we serve our families and our friends? How about by what you guys did, helping make cookies? Do you think that made it easier on Dawn and Donna to make cookies? That helped? How else do we serve our families and our friends? Right. We clean up our rooms. Do we help with chores around the house?
Yes.
We do. What kind of chores?
We have to make sure everything's clean up before leaving our home.
So that's right.
We help our mom and dad clean our rooms too.
That's right. And we probably help with some other things, too. Maybe every once in a while we help with the dishes, or we help gather up the trash. Or maybe some of us might help with vacuuming and cleaning. But, you know, all these things are really good. Now, how do we serve God? How do you guys serve God? Do you know? You do something that helps serve God, and you probably don't think of it. You sing, right? You sing. What else? Praying. How about all of the things that you do to serve your parents and your family and your friends? Do you think they serve God?
Yeah.
That's right. Now, prayer
which you mentioned, that's kind of an important thing. But, you know, sometimes people only go so far. You know, we have a mess here, and we could sit here and pray about this mess, that it gets cleaned up, or that someone takes care of it. In fact, why don't we take a second and do that right now? Let's bow our heads and say, "Dear God, please help this mess be gone." Amen. And then when we're done, the mess is still there, isn't it? It didn't just move and find the trash can or anything like that. That's right. You know, sometimes we fall into a trap where we pray about things, but we don't take the next step. And that's kind of like, are you guys familiar with soccer? So if you're the forward of the soccer team, and you have the ball, and you break away from everyone, and there's no one around you, and you run that ball all the way up to the goalie box, and you just stop, and you don't kick, what happens? What happens? The other team gets the ball. The big thing is you don't score a goal, right? Because you just ran right up to the line and you just stopped. You didn't finish. You didn't carry through. And that's kind of what praying without action is like. You could sit and pray that the hungry get fed. But if you don't do something, it won't happen, right? So it's kind of like this mess. It's not going anywhere until we do something about it. We pray, we ask for guidance. God tells us that, well, we need to clean up the mess. So now we need to do something. So if you all could help me out just a little bit, let's pick up these, and for right now, let's just put them in a corner right in front of the baptismal font there to help clean up a little bit so our custodian doesn't have to do it. Just right in front there. Just put them all together. All right. Now, let us all bow our heads for a little prayer. Dear Lord, help us understand that serving is an active thing. It is not something passive where we sit and wait. When we see that something needs done, that we act and move on it, that way we can serve you to the fullest of our abilities. Amen. Today's children's collection is for the UMCOR flood buckets.
Thank you, Diane and choir, for that lovely upbeat song this morning. Before our scripture reading, I do want to remind all of those in just another brief announcement is if you haven't picked up on Krista's sermon with the children, today we are celebrating the ministry of laity and those, you and I, who serve our church with faithful hearts and hands, that we are ready to do God's work when and where called upon. And today, after second service, there is a lovely reception prepared by Penny, and it looked to be some delicious cake, and there's cake and coffee and punch. So in celebration of all of us, I hope that you'll join us today in the parlor after our service. And I'll turn your hearts to our scripture reading, a letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and that may be found on page 205 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Hear these words. About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Now is our time for a responsive reading, number 858, which recites Psalm 146 in your red hymnal. Please respond to my prompt. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have need.
But not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The
Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the sojourners.
And upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord brings away the wicked to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation.
Praise the Lord.
And here ends the reading of Psalm 146. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
Gracious and merciful God, through the witness of Christ, you show us the kind of leaders you desire. You need people of integrity and obedience who live with patience and peace. Today we celebrate the ministry of the laity who serve you with faithful hearts and hands ready to reach out in your name. We may each of us joyfully give of our talents and treasure from the abundance you provide. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to share a couple of concerns with everyone. Larry is in Forbes Hospital. Emily has liver and lung cancer. Barb has a blockage and liver cancer and is having surgery this morning. Also, it's unknown how, but Elaine ended up in the hospital, in Westmoreland Hospital, with a compound fracture of her lower four vertebrae. She's in pain. If anyone would like to visit or call and talk with her. Are there any other prayers, concerns, or joys that you wish to share? I'd like everyone to turn in your hymnal to "Be Still My Soul," or "Be Still My Soul," our prayer hymn. And if you so feel led, the chancel rail is open.
Heavenly Father, we come today to praise and worship you, but we also come with things on our hearts. Some are heavy and some are light. We lift the names of those mentioned up to you so that you may help protect, heal, guide, and be with. We also give to you and lay at your feet the things that we don't want to mention, things that might make us uncomfortable, things that we feel may be private. They may be concerns or they may be joys, but we bring them to you. We give them to you, for they are yours. Dear Lord, be with all of those who serve us in our day-to-day lives, whether it be our government, whether it be the municipalities, whether it be the police, the firefighters, or the medical personnel, whether it be the teachers, whether it be whoever, be with them. Protect them. Guide them. Stay with them so that they may be able to continue to serve, furthering your kingdom. Dear Lord, we know that you and you alone can bear all of these things. We trust in your infinite grace. We confess that we need your healing and your forgiveness for all that is broken in our minds and bodies. We ask your healing for all that is amiss in our choices and our relationships. We ask for your forgiveness for all that works against life and blessing in our hearts and in the world. We open ourselves to your transforming grace. Heal us. Forgive us and make us new. And we now together pray to you as your Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by his works. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled, saying that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Good morning. Today, once again, is a special time of the year in the church. Today, we celebrate Laity Sunday. This is a truly special time because we are reminded that we, as the laity, are a very important part of spreading Christ's love and letting everyone know how truly wonderful our God, the one true and living God, is. We are also reminded that our job is not a once-a-year job, but something that we should be working at all of the time. We tend to think that as laity, we may be responsible for administrating the church property, whether it be the building, the grounds, the supplies, the staff. Unfortunately, even with that small sense of responsibility, we often take the attitude that someone else will do it. What is even more unfortunate is that when it comes to communicating God's love and grace to the world beyond our doors, we want someone else to take the responsibility. But we will talk about that later. For now, let's talk about and celebrate the services we all carry out. Many, if not all of us, serve this church in many different ways. Some of us may also think that we don't really do that much, and what we do doesn't mean anything. So how do we serve? How do we serve the church, our community, and our God? Anyone? Okay, you all know me by now. You know that I'm going to call on you and ask questions. So this is easier if you answer. How do we serve the church? How do we serve our community? By participating. Being teachers. Teachers, stand up. Teachers' aides, stand up. By being students, by learning. How else do we serve? We sing in the choir. So our musicians serve. Everyone stand up. We also want to include in this group everyone else that helps with this Sunday service. We have our ushers. We have those in the altar guild who fill everything up and keep everything nice for us. We also have our sound technicians. Everyone stand up. If you fall in one of these groups, stand up. With our prayers. Right, we do. We serve with our prayers. food bank. Anyone that helps with the food bank or any of the special ministries that this church does, like the mission trips, the men's work teams, the United Methodist women, the United Methodist men, any of those, stand up. Believers. Oh, the weavers. The weavers. If you're a weaver, stand up. Committees. Committees. If you are on a committee in this church, stand up. How about the pastor? Laity. I'm sorry? Other preachers. The people that help the pastor with Sunday services. If you help with cover the pastor when he needs time off or on special Sundays, stand up. The worship hosts. Vacation Bible School. If you help out with Vacation Bible School, stand up. Nursery attendants. Also, our other music groups. We have the Temple Bells, the Cathedral Bells. We have the greeters, the soup makers. We have the people that help out with the funeral ministry, with cooking the food and preparing meals. The Good Samaritans, thank you. We also have the kids, the dance team. We have the kids' choral groups and bell groups. Is there anyone sitting down that serves the church in a way that I haven't called out that I may have forgotten? Attenders. Drama team. Those who attend, stand up. That should be everyone now. Well, I want to take a moment and have you look around at everyone. These are the people that serve. These are the people that keep the church running. These are the people that make sure things happen on Sunday. These are the people of the church that move it forward. You could all sit down. I want to thank every one of you for your service. Without you, this church would not be able to conduct its day-to-day business. In one form or another, you have all done something that has made an impact on someone else in this church, and God welcomes your willingness to serve. Well, now we know who serves. But why do we serve? Can anyone tell me some of the reasons why we serve? Because nobody else does it. It's a reason we serve. To fulfill a need, to serve God. In response to grace, because God calls us. Because we want to. Because we want to serve the Lord. I'm sorry? We were taught by our families. How about fear? Well, it may not be a good reason, but it's still a reason why people serve. There are good and bad to everything. You know, some people serve from greed, from fear, from power. They want the power. They want the fame. They want the prestige. Maybe they serve because they don't want to be left out. I think sometimes there are things that cause us to serve that we don't want others to know or that we don't ourselves want to see or realize.
even with some of the good-sounding reasons, they can be bad if the motivation is not correct. What is our motivation for serving? Just think about it for a minute. When we serve, we should be making sure that our service is to God and to God alone. Wait, you say, what's wrong with serving others? Well, we are told that we can only serve one master. The master that we serve should be God. And if we are truly and actively serving God, then we will find that others around us are being served. So now we know a little bit about why we serve and why we should serve. But some of us don't like to serve and don't serve. That doesn't mean that they don't do anything at all. But they may only give token service. Why do we not serve to the fullest of our ability? Why do we not serve to the fullest of our ability? Time. Distractions. Laziness. Apathy. We just don't care. Fear. Somebody else has got it. It's not my responsibility. Those are some of the reasons why we don't serve, but I tend to think that most don't serve because they don't think that they have a responsibility. Or if they do, they don't want that responsibility. I saw a picture on the internet the other day. It was a picture of Kermit the Frog laying on his stomach texting on a phone. The caption read, "I wish God would just text me and tell me what I'm supposed to do. It would make life a lot easier." Sounds cute, and it sounds like something that we might wish. Well, there is a problem with that line of thought. Our lack of responsibility becomes an excuse. We sit back and think that we are waiting on God to direct us, to tell us how we are to serve. Tithing. We sit and wait for God's direction. Feeding the hungry. We sit and wait for God to tell us what to do. Driving down the street past the homeless. We sit and wait for God to tell us if we should help or not. Well, guess what? He didn't tell me how to help. So, I'll just go pray. Besides, maybe he wants someone else to do it. Maybe it's someone else's responsibility. Guess what, folks? It's not. What are we waiting for? James tells us that if we pray but don't do anything, it doesn't cut it. It does not work. What good does it do? Are we waiting for God to come down and give us all of the answers? Did we ask him the question at all? Or did we just assume that he would come to us? Do we have a good reason for waiting? We have one, all right, but it's not a good one at all. We want someone else to take the responsibility. We don't care if it's another person in the pew next to us. We don't care if it's someone in another state or country. We don't even care if it's God himself, just as long as it isn't me. If we just sit and wait for God to direct us, then it's not my fault if he doesn't tell me. I'm not responsible if things don't get done. Someone else is. Sometimes we choose to shirk this responsibility intentionally, but often we just don't realize that we're doing it. We think we are doing the right thing. After all, we want God to direct us, and we don't want to make mistakes. There is, however, a big difference between God approaching us and us approaching him. We can't start to be directed until we ask for that direction. Once we have asked, then God knows he has our undivided attention. Also, in our asking, he knows that our heart is in the right place to serve. Once we have asked for his guidance, we need to listen, and we have to act. After all, we are his hands, and we are his feet. We could very well be his answer to someone else's prayers. We can pray for someone earnestly all we want, but unless we accompany that prayer with acts that alleviate the situation, then the prayers are hollow and useless. One of my favorite songs that I've listened to a lot lately is by Matthew West. And the song title is called Do Something. And what I'd like for you to bear with me on here is I'm going to have the sound team play that song for you. I want you to just listen to it and think about it. I have the words printed in the bulletin for you so that you could follow along if it's hard for you to follow by ear. But I want you to really think about what Matthew West is saying here.
One of my most favorite lines from that song is, "So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you." He created you to be his hands and feet. He created you to carry him to others. He created us as the answer. Now all we have to do is do something. I'd like everyone to turn in your hymnal and join me in our hymn of parting, 593, Here I Am, Lord. here we stand, with the whole city gathered at our door, waiting for our Sunday celebrations to end, hoping that we will notice that there is a community outside these walls, longing for healing, help, and hope. As we walk through these doors, help us to worship and work with our eyes open so that we might love and feel and even ache with our neighbors. When tomorrow comes, let worship continue to flow through our hands, testifying to your love and greatness. Lord, strengthen us so that we can do something. Amen.